Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
So what makes a real hunter? How many days a year do you have to hunt to claim this title? Well, it's not what you think. Hey, this is George back with the New Hunter's Guide, the podcast and YouTube channel, helping new hunters get started and bringing new insights to all hunters. I'm your host, and today we're talking about what makes a hunter. What makes a real hunter? People throw this term around all the time online, Facebook, YouTube, forums, at the coffee shop, wherever, at work. What makes a real hunter? Now, I talk about this subject today. This is the 300th episode of the podcast. That's right, episode 300. Now, actually, it's more like episode 330 because there's been a lot of, in-between episodes and unnumbered episodes and, episode 37.5 and things like that. But it's the official planned 300th episode. So we are celebrating that today. Really do appreciate everybody who has listened, everybody who has sent in comments, everybody who's become a research partner on Patreon, everybody that watches on YouTube across numerous nations. Really exciting time to be in this space. Milestone info for you guys. This past fall, we began to hit 10,000 downloads per month of the podcast, which is awesome. I didn't say 10,000 downloads per episode, but of course there's a lot of episodes. 10,000 downloads per month, which is, it's the demonstrated evidence that people are doing exactly what I hope from day one and going back. And this content being evergreen and looking at, episode 12 and saying, okay, now I need to know about this. And all right, now I'm turkey hunting. What's going on in episode 33? I need to know about scouting. I need to go, all right, how do I hunt elk? Let's go to episode 212 or whatever it is. Everything is organized. It is sorted. It is distributed by topic and subtopic on the website, newhuntersguide.com. And people are going back and getting this stuff. And guys, a lot of the advice that I gave on how to hunt deer in episode 15 and how to hunt turkeys in episode 30 is just as good today as it was the day that those episodes were published. I mean, actually, some of that advice is better than it is today because I was closer to it back then, living it out. I was closer to being a beginner, 5 years ago than I am today. So a lot of that content it's not like it would be better if I redid it today, which is one of the reasons why I don't redo topics with any regularity, because oftentimes the original is the best. But, you know, I'll do extension topics and we'll go deeper into sub areas. And of course, if you listen, you know all about this. So 300 episodes of the New Hunter's Guide, just awesome, super exciting. And of course, the YouTube channel has been massive. I do post milestone videos there. But really awesome stuff. Thank you so much to everyone who has supported the show in one way or another. Really appreciate it. Those that have sent in pictures of turkeys and deer and other things that you guys have taken. Super awesome. Thank you guys so much. So, the topic at hand today, what makes a real hunter? And so you hear people talk about this, like, well, you know, if you don't hunt in a tree stand at least 30 days a year, you're not a real hunter. Or, you know, if you don't go 15 days in a row without a break, you're not a real turkey hunter. Or if you're not in the duck blind, you know, at least whatever it is, 90% of the available days in the season, then you're not a duck hunter. And if you don't do this, and if you don't do that, and if you don't wear Sitka, and if you don't hunt with this, and if you don't have a Benelli, and if you don't use these kind of boots, and this, that, and the other thing, then people say, oh, well, you're just playing. You're just, you know, one thing or another. There's no end to the ridiculousness and the insults and things that people throw out to basically no reason whatsoever. But the question is, what makes a real hunter? What really earns you that title? Not that throwing around titles really means anything anyway, but what is it that ought to give you that bit of satisfaction on the inside? You know, is using a Benelli really it? I mean, is that the thing that if you hunt with a Benelli, now you're a real hunter? Yeah, I don't think so. You could miss every shot you ever take. You could go out once a year and do nothing. Just because you have a Benelli doesn't mean anything. Does Sitka gear make the difference? No, it doesn't. You can have a $5,000 suit of gear and still never shoot anything. You can spend $5,000 on gear. You can be warm in your living room because you never go outside. What you have can't be part of the consideration. It just can't. It makes no difference. Native Americans were real hunters long before even firearms were introduced to them. Long before we had compound bows, long before we camouflage had been invented, they were seriously real hunters. And so it cannot be a function of equipment. It just can't even be a consideration. Is it a function of time spent in the woods? Is that what you need to do in order to consider yourself a real hunter? I think not. And I differ with some people here, and I'm okay with that. And some people may not be happy about me saying this, and I'm okay with that too. And the haters may yell and scream, and please, be as loud as you can. I really don't care. The number of days that you hunt does not determine, cannot determine, if you're a real hunter. Why? Well, because the number of days that you hunt is more a function of your financial status and position, of your job work position and status, of your lifestyle position and status, than it is whether or not you're a real hunter. Now, that is not across the board in all cases, but, you know, just be realistic with me. How can you hunt 100 days a year in the waterfowl blind and have a full-time job and a family and anything else that you do? Well, you know, maybe you have a job that you work afternoons and evenings. And so then you can be up and out the door and hunt 2 hours a day and get back in. Maybe. There are some people that is the case, and they push hard and they work hard, and they are just absolutely burning the candle at both ends, and there is no shortage of diligence there. But that is the exception. And I'm sure there are some folks like that that are listening. You're the exception. Far more common is the people that are very well-to-do, own their own company maybe, or just inherited wealth, and they don't have to work full-time, and they don't have to parent full-time. And, you know, they just have flexibility. They can go out and do whatever they want. They can hunt 5 days a week if they really want to. And they can have a full suit of Sitka gear and a Benelli, if not more expensive, shotgun. And they can have a $3,000 rifle. And, you know, they can have all those things. And they have all the time that they want to have. Those are more often the kinds of people that are putting in ridiculous numbers of days in the woods. People that own outdoor companies. Absolutely, you know, part of their job is to hunt. They may not be a professional hunter, but they own an outdoor company. They own a hunting brand, or they have a position in such a company that is significant. Part of their job is to hunt significant number of days, to test the gear, to use the gear. That could be one of the things that pushes them out there. Some folks are retired and they have time now that they're able to hunt. That's a different category of folks that are in the woods or able to be in the woods a lot.
The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com. Knives, machetes, saws, and shears. Multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
But by and large, you cannot say, well, because you hunt this many days a year, you're a real hunter. Because there's just... one, it doesn't mean you're any good at hunting. It just call it what it is. Two, doesn't really mean you're dedicated or disciplined. It could just mean you've got time. Instead of getting up every morning to walk the dog, you go pheasant hunting. Okay, that's good. But do you ever get pheasants? So what is the barometer? How do you determine what makes a real hunter? Is it how much game that you take? Is it a percentage of hunts to success? Again, I think not. Why do I say that? Because there's parts of the country where you can buy the game you want to shoot. You can go to deer farms. You can go to you know, turkey farms. You can go to all kinds of places. Pay per antler, pay per point, pay per inch of beard. You can pick what you want to do. You can pay money to shoot those animals, like shooting fish in a barrel or close to it, and take them home. There are also parts of the country where hunting certain things is much, much easier than others. Okay? There are states and cities and areas where hunting ducks is drastically better than others. There are places where hunting deer is drastically better than others. There are places where hunting turkey is drastically easier than others. Depending on where you live, you could go out and shoot a turkey or a deer or a limit of ducks every time you go out or close to it. And then there are other places where these animals are scarce and sparse. And you have to push and you have to work. And maybe every couple years you take something and bring it home. And so, you know, taking game is not necessarily the indicator of being a real hunter. Because some of that varies by how much money you want to spend on a farm. Some of it varies based on where you live and what it's like to take game there. And some of that varies based on other factors. So, of course, a skilled, efficient, effective hunter should bring home game with some regularity. But that's just one of the very many different variables that can lead to people bringing home lots of game. So bringing game home out of the woods is not, cannot be the barometer. So what is it, George? What is it that makes a real hunter? Well, in my classification, in my book, it's this. A real hunter is someone who, whenever they're in the woods, be it 100 days a year, be it 5 days a year, they're focused on one thing. That's bringing home the game that they're after. Everything they do in the woods is focused on that. They have laser focus. They're trying to be quiet. They're trying to be still. They're trying to figure out where to go. Where's the game going to be? What's the right moment? What's the right time? What's the right spot? What's the right position? How do I carry myself? How can I walk a little quieter coming in? They're not walking in the woods, cutting up and telling jokes and this, that. And the, no, that's not it. They're not the ones that are, you know, pay someone else to do the scouting, and then they come in and sit in the blind, you know, with a heater, drink coffee, and wait for the big buck to show up that they're promised is going to be there. No, that's not it. It's the person who is disciplined and focused on bringing home what they're after. All right? No matter how much they can hunt, no matter what gear they have, they are focused. They're not wearing swishy pants trying to sneak up on stuff, all right? They might not have Sitka pants or First Light pants. They might have Walmart pants, but they are quiet pants. They might not have $200, $300, $400, $500 boots, but they can move effectively and nimbly in their boots. They may not have, the most expensive shotgun, but they can shoot the shotgun that they do have. They're practiced. They're disciplined. They're focused. When they're in the woods, they're there to get their quarry. They're there to bring home whatever it is they're after, and they're going to do everything they can do for whatever period of time is available to them in whatever spots or properties or locations are available to them in order to make the best of those moments and those places. This is what makes a real hunter. This is what fuels a real hunter. This is how you can carry that title. This is not the haphazard person just, you know, walking in the woods, derpa derpa derp, there's a tree, okay, let's sit there, that one's as good as any other. All right, should be a deer showing up any minute now, I guess. No. The tree is strategic. The location is strategic. Where's the wind blowing? Where's the sun rising? Where are the trails? Where is the cover? Where is the food? All of these things are being factored. They're being weighed. All right, how can I have the fewest steps in? Where can I leave the least amount of scent behind on bushes and brush? How can I make the least amount of noise? All right, how do I get into my spot the most efficient? How quiet can I be? How long can I sit realistically without moving, without needing to get up to go to the bathroom? How do I eat and drink before a hunt in order to maximize that length of time? All right, how much time do I have before I start getting cold? All right, when do I want to plan to get up and to move and to get a break? I don't want it to be during the peak hours or the peak moments of the hunt. I want to try to stage everything, to shift everything, to position everything so that I'm using my time as effectively as I can. So I'm using my opportunities as effectively as I can. So that if there's any possible way that I can bring a deer or a turkey or a goose or whatever out of the woods on this outing, I'm going to do it. That's what makes a real hunter. They sit there ready without blinking. at a moment's notice, knowing that it could be time to draw, to raise their gun, to raise their bow, to raise their crossbow, to raise their shotgun, and take a shot almost without thought. They know they're not sitting there on their phone as a turkey walks by at 30 yards that they never even see. Because, yeah, they can move without making a sound. So can deer. So can ducks. Sometimes ducks are really noisy. They are. And sometimes they are ninjas. They can be 100% silent. As silent as a piece of cotton sitting on a shelf in a house 100 miles away. All right. Quiet is unbelievable. Knowing that I cannot just sit there with my head down for minutes at a time. Knowing that at any moment could be the moment and I'm not going to miss it. I might only have a second to react. I'm not sitting there playing video games. I'm not going to sit there and text people. I'm sitting there focused because I picked a spot that I believe is going to give me the best chance of success. Because I'm not there at a time of day that I believe is going to give me the best chance of success. Because I'm hunting in weather that I believe is going to give me a good chance of success. And if I can't control all those factors because this is the time that I have, and it may not be the 100% best moment to be in the woods, but it's the only moment that I've got, then I'm going to make the most of that moment. And if a deer walks by, I'm going to take that deer. If a duck flies by, I'm taking that duck. If a turkey peeks its head out of a bush and walks out for 5 seconds into the clearing, I am taking that turkey. All right, I'm focused and I'm ready. I did an entire episode just on that subject, being ready, being focused. You know, I've had times, guys, where I'm sitting, one time in particular, I remember I'm sitting in the duck blind hunting with one of my buddies, and, you know, legal shooting light just came. It's within, you know, just a few minutes of it. It's still pretty dark. We're sitting there hearing nothing. And, you know, I'm just sitting there watching the sky, just watching the sky, looking for shadows, looking for anything. And I see a group of ducks flying from left to right. Just came out of the treetops, didn't hear it, didn't nothing. I just saw them. They're just whizzing by, passing in front of us on over top of the creek that we're hunting. And I can tell you guys, I stood up without thinking. Without conscious thought, I stood, my gun was in my hands, I stood, pointed, clicked off the safety, took aim, pulled the trigger, duck fell out of the sky, hit the water before I even knew what happened. It was just muscle memory on autopilot. My hunting buddy that I was with never even saw the ducks. He didn't even know there were. If I wouldn't have knocked one down, he wouldn't even have known they ever existed. But not to say, you know, I was paying better attention than he was. I was looking left while he was looking right, which is what we were supposed to do. And, you know, I just, on autopilot, I think I said something when I stood up. I think I said ducks. I'm not even sure. But it was just boom, boom, boom. And that's all the time there was. There was no more time than that. That was it. There was a split second to take action, to take a shot. And that's not the only duck I've dropped like that.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping, MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
I've sat there hunting deer. Just knowing, okay, I might only have a second. I might only have a moment. And I'm just sitting there focused, all right, crossbow in my hand, shouldered in my shoulder, hands on the grip, other hand on the forend, and I'm just sitting there focused, and I see in the branches of a tree, moving branches, and I know that's a buck. Those are antlers. And I'm ready. The bow comes right up to my shoulder. I am looking through the scope. And as soon as those antlers clear the brush, I know I've got enough points. And then as soon as I see a shoulder that I'm able to put that shot on, he begins to turn his head to start to move like he's going to back up and turn and run away. But it didn't matter. The arrow was already in the air. And that deer came home. Why? Ready at a moment's notice. Didn't have five more seconds. That deer would have been gone. You have to be ready. You got to be focused. I've been sitting there hunting turkeys. And all morning, nothing. Not a gobble. Whole season, almost no gobbles anywhere. 7:30 in the morning, two hours some or so after legal shooting light. I'm sitting there focused on what's in front of me, and I see a bird just materialize, just like a mist come out of the bushes. Didn't see it coming. It was just there, and it's walking, and it is a passing bird. It is not coming into me or the decoys, but he is passing in front of me. Well, I didn't make it in front yet. I saw the beard. I saw him walking. He's going. I drew up my shotgun as soon as he walked in front of an area that I had a sure backstop, pulled that trigger, and down he went. Didn't have five more seconds. Would have been into the woods. Would have been gone. All right. What happened was ready. What was focused, was in the right spot, scouted, worked at it, did what I could do, took reasonable effort, not superhuman effort, just reasonable effort to find a good spot at a good time where there's a good chance of success, and then focused, took every step I could, get in quiet, low impact, low noise, sit still, eyes open, head up, shotgun at the ready, sighted in, good ammo, know what to do, right? Got it all just boom. There's a bird. There's a beard. Well, is that the one that I want or not? It was already down by that time. There was a beard. The bird came home. If you've ever hunted turkeys in Pennsylvania, particularly Western Pennsylvania, there's a beard. That bird comes home. All right. That's just the way that it is. All right. Because you may not get more than one chance a season. You may go seasons without getting one chance. And so, you know, you got to be ready. You got to be focused. You've got to be on it. I have lost game. Not being focused, being haphazard, being sloppy, being lazy. I've walked up calling turkeys, walking and calling at the same time. And walked right over a little ridge. Right in front of me is a little bush with two long beards sitting under it. They look at me, pop up, stand there for a minute, look confused, then start running. Well, my gun is slung over my shoulder with the safety on. My hands have a pot call and a striker. There was nothing I could do. I was totally powerless. Those birds were probably 20 yards from me. And I could have shot both of them if I wanted to. But I was not walking with my gun in hand. I was not taking it seriously. I was just lackadaisical. All right, just call. Hear anything? Nope. Walk, call. Hear anything? Nope. Didn't think that the next moment could be the moment that it's there. You know, I've walked with a rifle hunting deer on foot. And I've seen the deer I wanted to shoot. I'm trying to go around a hill to get behind it, to cut it off of where I think it's going. I walk right over the edge of that hill. I see two other deer that I did not know about just right there in front of me at, you know, 25 yards, maybe less. And just boom, I ducked, got in position, came up, got a little closer till I could get an eye on him. Of course, I rose with the gun shouldered, okay, ready. I'm coming up, up, up. As soon as they see me, they stood up to run. Well, they didn't get a chance to run. The deer went down. I was ready, focused, disciplined. Walking with the gun in hand. Didn't just stand there and go, "Huh, look at that, there's some deer. I wonder what I should do." No. You got to be on top of it. A real hunter is somebody that is focused on the moment, on the task, on doing everything they can in order to be successful, to make the most out of those moments. Now, I need to talk about something else hand in hand with this. All right, because like I said, the gear doesn't matter, but they use the gear they have to the best that they can. All right, the amount of time that they have to hunt doesn't matter, but they use that time to the best that they can. There are other factors that I think trip people up and cause people problems. One of them is children. Oftentimes, people will go too far and they will not realize that when they take a kid out to hunt, the objective changes. When you're out hunting by yourself, the objective is to bring home game. The objective is to be successful, to be effective. If you're taking a kid out hunt, I don't care what the age is, if it's 7 or 17, the objective is for that hunter, that child, to have a good experience. Okay? So now all of a sudden, everything that you know, that you're used to, that you're focused on trying to be effective in the woods, trying to bring home a deer or turkey or whatever, all of that must shift. You have to be able to change gears because it's a totally different gear. And if you take a fidgety 10-year-old out and you try to channel your level of focus and discipline and effectiveness on them, you're just going to crush them. You're just going to crush them. You have to say, all right, you know what? The goal is no longer to bring home a deer. The goal is for this kid to have a good time. It's a different objective. And you might feel like a failure of a hunter. Well, you're not out there hunting. You're out there mentoring. You're out there teaching. You're out there training. You're out there giving them a good time. You're completely shifting the game as to what you're out there to do. You're no longer out there to hunt. You're out there to mentor them. And what you need to start thinking about is, all right, how quiet can we possibly be? No. Is this kid warm? Are they dry? Are they comfortable? You need to be thinking about that. All right, how can we find the perfect spot to give us the best chance at game? No. Can we find the best spot so that they can enjoy hunting the most? Tree stand may not be a good idea for a 10-year-old's first time out. But a blind might be better because they can move, they can fidget, they can bring extra stuff. They don't have to try to be as silent and still as you are. You know, you stop thinking of, okay, you know, what do I eat before the hunt so that I don't have to eat or drink or go to the bathroom during the core hours of the hunt? You change that to, what snacks and what drinks should I bring for them? Hot cocoa, extra toilet paper. What do I need to bring in order to help them enjoy the day and the conditions that they're in and give them a chance to see and maybe, just maybe, take a shot at an animal? But the goal is to get them to want to come back, not to bring home a deer. All right. That goal is something they have to grow into. To grow into where you are. You can begin to mentor them in that direction over time, but not at the beginning. The beginning is just to give them a good day out so that they want to do it again, so that they enjoy being out with you, so that they enjoy the outdoors. You can't put the same pressure on them that you may put on yourself to perform. They're not you. And like I said, the objective has changed. You might have to consciously tell yourself, say, all right, I'm out here. I'm not out here hunting. I'm out here teaching. I'm out here training. I'm out here enjoying some time with my kid or my nephew or whoever, you know, that I'm with. I'm out here for them. I'm out here to accompany them. Now, you do that for a few years. You know, you take them out a couple times a year. Maybe by the time, you know, they're 15, 16 years old, you're able to shift that some. It's like, all right, we're, you bring them into the shadow then of how you hunt. And so that they begin to pick it up. So they hopefully begin to embrace it. And they see you and you give them little tips along the way. Not scolding them for moving too loud, but showing them how to be quieter. And you're able to nurture them. And you want them to catch your passion. And to catch your way. And to catch your how you do things. So that they can imitate it, replicate it. And then eventually the two of you can at some point hunt together in tandem, complementing each other, being more effective together than you would have been apart. But that's not going to happen in a day or a year or probably 5 years. All right, it's a long game. You guys got to remember, okay, the objective changes.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So our true hunter is focused on the objective. And if the objective changes, they're also focused on the new objective. All right, if today's objective is bring home a deer, don't come home without one, that's one objective, and you can be focused on that. If today's objective is show this kid a good time, hopefully they see some game, and then take them out to breakfast or lunch afterwards, that's a different objective, and you're focused on that objective. If your objective in the woods is scouting, but something's in season, so you're going with a gun because you might be able to shoot, hunt, kill, take something while you're scouting. Well, your objective is scouting. And so if scouting is my objective, then I do things differently than if hunting is my objective. And I have scouted and taken game while scouting. And I love cross seasons and overlapping seasons. I love it. I love overlapping seasons. I love being out, able to shoot ducks and geese and pheasants all at the same time, all on the same day. I've had many times where a hunt for one thing changed into a hunt for another thing because that game was there, right? You're out hunting pheasants near the water, and man, the ducks are coming in. Well, hey, you're like, well, George, you can't use lead shot hunting pheasants and hunting ducks. Yeah, no, I don't. I use bismuth for everything. That way I can shoot everything with the same ammo. Works great. You got to try it sometime. But that's a tangent. You're focused on whatever your objective is. And when the objective changes, then your focus changes with it. You don't stay focused on the old objective. You keep your eyes on the ball. Keep yourself focused on the new objective. This is how you hunt for real. This is how you become effective in whatever your pursuit is. No matter how much money you have, no matter how much gear you have, no matter how many days off you have, I'll tell you guys right now, I mean, I probably don't hunt half as much as most people assume that I do. I just probably don't. You're like, why is that? Well, because I've got a full-time job and I have a family and a ministry and I do this podcast thing and this YouTube thing. You know, my days for hunting are limited. You know, I don't get to hunt 40 days a year for waterfowl. I probably go out 5 to 10 days a year. I don't get to hunt 30 days in a tree stand. I probably go into the woods hunting deer 5-ish days a year. Maybe less. I don't go out and hunt 28 straight days for turkey season. You know, this year I've got scheduled right now. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've got 5 days planned, 6 as a maybe for hunting turkeys. You might say, well, George, that doesn't sound real hardcore. Well, no, how hardcore can you be with everything else that I've got going on? Now, if the podcast and the YouTube channel just take off and I'm able to do this full time, well, then yeah, I will hunt more. I will be in a different category, though. I will be in a different place of life. And that will not make me a more hardcore hunter. And that will not make me more of a real hunter just because, you know, if I've got an easier life and I don't have to work as much so I can hunt more, that doesn't make me better. That would just give me more time. You still have to be focused. You still have to be on target. You know, when I go out deer hunting, my goal every year is to take a deer in September. That's my goal. The first hunt of the year, I want to get a deer. I want to get my buck. I want to fill my tag. You're like, George, that's crazy talk. Well, no. I do everything I can do. I work all year. I just got out. The morning I was recording this, you know, I was out checking trail cameras and getting things set up at my primary deer spot and working on the blind. I focus. I look at this. I work on it year round so that when deer season comes, I've got the best possible odds and chances that I can, because I want to get my deer within the first hunt or two so that I can save my vacation days and save my time and save my family's patience to hunt other things. So I can go more after ducks and more after pheasants and after other things. That way I'm able to hunt more things because I don't have more time. I have a finite amount of time. And I want to hunt more than one thing. So I do my absolute best to be as effective as I possibly can, because for me, deer hunting is a priority because the meat is a priority. Having venison matters. And so I've got to take a deer every year. At least I feel like I do. We could buy meat at the store. We are able to do it. But I want to have venison for all the things that we use it for. I'd rather use that than ground meat. I'd rather use that than steak for a number of dishes. And so, you know, that's what I do. That's what we do. That's how I roll. And so I do everything I can for weeks and months to be able to get that deer fast and early. And then I can turn my focus towards more fun is not the right word, but you know, it's more of an open-ended pursuit when you're going after birds, because you could take so many a day every time. And so, you know, I've got one buck tag. So some people would say, well, I want to try then to focus and get the biggest buck I possibly can. I could do that. I could do that. And so if I hunted 5 days instead of 1 day, or if I hunted 10 days instead of 2 days, maybe I could get a bigger buck. In fact, I'm probably sure I could. Maybe I could get a 10 point instead of an 8 point. Every now and then there's more point. But that 10 point is probably only going to have 5 to 10 pounds more meat than the 8 point that I'm going to take. By the end of the day, once you get everything butchered and packed and everything else. So am I willing to invest 10 days to get 10 more pounds of meat? I don't know. I can get a lot of ducks and pheasants and geese have quite a few pounds of meat on them. And there's turkeys out there too. Now, it's a better use of time for me in order to try to work ahead of the season, to get everything set up to do the best I can possibly do in order to get that deer fast, get that deer early, and then reserve more time to hunt other stuff. That's a better use of my time. That's a better use of my limited resources. Hopefully one day I'll have more resources and I won't have to think like that. But everybody has to make decisions on time and efficiency and what they can do, what they're able to do, what their priorities are. Some people only hunt deer and they take 2, 3, 5 deer a year because they need that meat for their families and those people close to them. And it's a much bigger deal. I don't need that much meat. I usually get two tags every year, get a buck tag and a doe tag, but I seldom fill the doe tag because I keep filling the buck tag early because I make that my priority throughout the summer and the early fall. And then I'm able to go after and hunt other things. But whatever you hunt, you know, I like to hunt a lot of stuff. I enjoy all the different pursuits. I like how the hunts are different. I really do. I like to go after lots of stuff. You may not. You may like one thing. And if you only like one thing, then you focus on that one thing to make the absolute most of it. If you only have one buck tag and that's the only tag for the only animal you can shoot this year, then yeah, you want to try to probably get the biggest animal you can get. And you probably can have more time if you're focusing all your time on that, whereas I'm spreading it out over a lot of different pursuits. So, you know, everybody's got their priorities. But what makes you a real hunter is trying to use whatever you have to the greatest effect, disciplined, focused. Doesn't mean you're obsessed and crazy, or you can go too far, but you're taking it seriously. You're using your time seriously. You're not just walking out in the woods haphazardly, sit on a stump and going, all right, let's see if a deer walks by. You can be successful that way. It has happened, but you can be a lot more successful if you're more focused and you're giving it more attention and more of your best. So guys, go to the website, newhuntersguide.com. Contact me through the website. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to just know how you're doing, what you're hunting, what you're planning on hunting. Show me some pictures of the last thing that you took. I really appreciate you guys. Till next time, God bless you, and go get them in the woods.